Welcome to another installment of the Monsters of Book Marketing interview series, sponsored by TheAuthorsEdge.com. And today I'm honored to have as my guest Dan Poynter. Dan was one of the real true trailblazers in the publishing industry. He back in, I believe it was the late 60s or early 70s, he wrote his first book, A Technical Treatise on the Parachute, which he self-published because he kind of knew that no mainstream publisher would really be interested in it. And that's how he got started in publishing. Today he's produced more than 76 books and revisions, and that's so far. He's been translated into Spanish, Japanese, Russian, British, English, and German. He runs today Para Publishing. He has sold millions of books, including several bestsellers. He does about tens of millions of dollars in sales today, and his books sell at the rate of around 10 to 20,000 copies per year every year. He's traveled to more than 40 countries. He is, as I mentioned, a skydiver. He skydived into the North Pole. He's written a bunch of technical books on parachutes and popular books on skydiving. He's an award-winning publisher and writer. He was recognized by PMA, the Publishers Marketing Association, with the Benjamin Franklin Award. He was also given the Irwin Award for the Best Electronic Promotion Campaign by the Book Publicists of Southern California, and he's also a past vice president of PMA. Dan's seminars have been featured on CNN. His books have been pictured in the Wall Street Journal, and his story has been told in U.S. News and World Report. So I'm obviously really honored again to have Dan here as part of the Monsters of Book Marketing interview series. And without further ado, let's get to the interview. Great. So I have today Dan Poynter, and Dan, I have known you for years. I've used you as a source for a lot of stories on publishing that I've done. And today we want to basically talk about this, I guess, buzzword now that's called social networking and how to promote books via social networking. And Dan, I know that you just basically wanted to, start answering questions that you're hearing out there. So I'm going to let you just go ahead and get started, and then I'll jump in later on with some questions for you.
Okay, Chris, thank you very much for this great opportunity. Promoting books, other products and services is easier, cheaper, and more fun today. Promotion has gone electronic. There is social networking and there's social media. They're not the same thing. One is used to make the other faster, easier, and cheaper. Now, I've been social networking since the 1960s. I've been using social media for more than 10 years. Social networking and social media are an effective way to promote books as well as other products and services. Social networking. Ooh, remember when you first when that term first showed up on your radar? Something the younger people do, posting pictures of their body parts on the internet, rebels of society, those young people who have green hair and more metal hanging out of their faces than a grenade victim, wearing jewelry in places I don't even want to know about. But I digress. Like many of you, when I first heard the term social networking, I thought to myself, something new, something the young people do, something I have to look into and learn as soon as I have time. And then I found out what social networking really is. Number one, social networking is as old as a campfire. It's just communication, because birds of a feather flock together. People have been hanging out with others who have like interests for thousands of years. Social media is as new as the internet. It's a form of communication, only the technology has changed. From smoke signals to homing pigeons to mobile phone text messaging and forums and groups such as Facebook and LinkedIn. The new way is faster, easier, and cheaper. And mobile phones eat less than pigeons. The only difference is that today the birds are flocking together on the web. It's a new place to flock. Today, the internet allows us to widen our interest group. We can find people with like interests anywhere in the world. We're not just limited to that circle around the campfire. People interested in buying our books, other products, and services are easy to find, and they can find us. one of the advantages of being an older person is that we used to be a younger person. We can remember the things that we got into, things that we developed, things that mystified our parents. Remember? They just didn't get it. Well, now we're older. We've learned a lot. Now we find that we've been doing social networking for years. Social networking is the fast, efficient, and inexpensive way to promote books without leaving home. And if you're an introverted writer, that's pretty important. If you don't want to do radio and TV and autographings, that's okay. You can do social networking online without going out and facing the public. Yes, most writers are introverts. So this means going directly to groups of people interested in your subject. This is pursuing non-traditional, the non-book trade markets electronically. Non-bookstore markets that buy by the carton, pay in 30 days, feel 40% discount as a bargain, and never return a book for a refund. Yes, bookstores are a lousy place to sell books. Younger people are spending more time online than in other activities. What we have is a new generation. They are the Gen X's, the millennials, and so on. Regardless of what you call young people today, we can be sure of one thing. They will be the adults and our buyers of tomorrow. Now, we're not talking about just selling to young people, but, you know, age is a one-way street. Ever notice that? We only get older. The handwriting's on the wall. The good news is that each 365 days, we get a new crop of young potential customer readers. We just have to figure out how to reach them with our book availability message. For example, young people are used to reading on a screen. We have to adapt. We have to serve this audience as they want to be served and as they are used to being served. There's a story about a freshman who goes into the college library for the first time. He walks over to a shelf where he sees all of these books that look very much alike. He says, "What's that?" And the librarian says, "Well, that's the encyclopedia." "The encyclopedia? Really? You mean somebody printed out the whole thing?" We have to think like our customer thinks. This is a multitasking generation, the ADD generation, the short attention span generation. You probably noticed the newspapers are downsizing, consolidating, going out of business. The young people get their news from the internet and from TV. Classified ads have moved to Craigslist. Stock quotes have moved to Yahoo. Advertising has moved to Google. Traditional media are the losers. Let me tell you my story. Back in the 1960s, I used the mail a lot. I had this, you probably won't even remember, NCR paper. It was a letterhead. It was half size, and the second sheet was yellow, and it was like a carbon without carbon paper. And I used windowed envelopes. And people said to me, "You're sending out personal messages and business messages using windowed envelopes?" And I said, "Sure, saves time. Don't have to retype the address on the outside, and I'm avoiding typos." Well, back then, I wrote people in skydiving. I wrote to the parachute clubs and the skydiving centers and so on. Postage was cheap. I started publishing a newsletter. To address this and send it out to hundreds, well, thousands of people, I had an addressograph machine. I mean, this was amazing. I had these addressograph plates, and this machine, which was made of cast iron and about the size of your desk, would stomp onto the newsletters or the envelopes. I later switched in the early 70s to Scriptomatic cards. These were like the IBM cards. You probably don't remember those either. But they were cards measuring about 4 by 6 inches, and these had a little window, and you could type directly into the window, and then the machine would apply addresses to the envelopes. In 1984, I got a fax machine because I did a lot of work with lawyers, and I started using the fax a lot. 1985, I got into fax on demand, so people could use their fax machine to call into my computer, and they could order documents directly from my company. 1944, I started up with email, like many of you, and in 1995, I set up my own website. And as far as I know, we were the first company to offer documents as downloads from a website. Yeah, a lot of people were selling running shoes and computer parts and vitamins and things like that. But we were selling little ones and zeros. We were selling information over and over again from our website. As far as I know, we were the first. Last week, an article appeared in New York Magazine. by Boris Katchka. It was titled, Have We Reached the End of Publishing as We Know It? Many of you read it. Many of you talked about it. Many of you contacted me about it. The article said, New York publishing is broken. Hey, don't emulate the Gang of Six in New York. Don't be envious of the big New York publishers. They are starting to emulate us because we're doing it right. I've been promoting books the better way for years. I've been teaching it for years. The secret is going directly to the reader, buyer, or through user groups. Let me also say that we are experts. Mark Sanborn, past president of the National Speakers Association, said just a few years back, we are not just authors or speakers. We are experts. We're dispensing our expertise. You see, when you write a book, you become an expert because we write our books from our accumulated knowledge plus specific research. Joe Vitale reminds us that the word authority contains the word author. Look at that. Authority, author. Yes, a book supplies the author with more credibility than any other product you could possibly produce. So use your expertise to give the client what he or she wants. Some of your clients want a book. Some want a report or consulting or coaching or training, an audio product, an e-book, a large print book because they're visually impaired. We are experts and we are supplying our information in any form that our customer wants. Let me give you a little tip. It's about promoting media, but we want to promote it with like media. For example, if your books are directed to writers, as many of mine are, you use print media, such as magazines and newsletters. Writers are print-oriented. If your book is directed at sales reps who spend a lot of time behind the wheel, then you want to publish audiobooks and promote them with podcasts, and so on. If your book is in the German language, you wouldn't send out a book announcement news release in English. You would talk to your audience in German. Back in 1976, I had a best-selling book on hang gliding. I was attending an international hang gliding competition in Kusen, Austria. I had a book on hang gliding. I went around the parking lot, and I put flyers under windshield wipers. The brochure was in English because the book was in English. If you don't remember anything else I say today, I want you to remember this. I've said this many times, and it's so very, very important. It doesn't matter if you sell out to a large New York publisher or publish yourself. The author must do the promotion. Publishers don't promote books beyond giving them a little space in the catalog. Ask anyone published by a large New York publisher. They'll tell you, well, they manufactured it, they sent it to bookstores, and nothing happened. The author must promote the books to drive buyers into the bookstores to pull the books through the system. The author must promote to pull the books through the system until the book reaches the tipping point, critical mass, name recognition, and then the book will pull the author from there on. Why do people buy nonfiction? To learn something or solve a problem. Similarly, people surf the web to learn something or solve a problem. Or to socialize. I mean, the web's become a new electronic meat market. But those people who find each other and start a relationship probably started by searching for other people who like the same subjects they do. They started with nonfiction to learn something or solve a problem. Web surfing allows people to find answers to questions and other people with like interests. Let's talk about our advantage. We are writing what we know we are selling to our friends. Well, not our neighbors, but our colleagues, people who like what we like. We can look into the mirror and see a reflection of our customers, somebody just like us. We know who they are, we know what information they need, and we know where they are. And we need to give our customers, our clients, our readers, what they want to read. We are close to our reader, and we know what they want to read. There was an article not too long ago in the Wall Street Journal. It was titled, Boys Don't Like to Read. Solution? Books that are really gross. I was interviewed for a young people's newspaper in Singapore last month. The title of the article is Don't Force the Classics on Them. I said, give them what they want to read. I just purchased an iPhone, and I've been reading books on my pocket PC, my PDA, for years. Some of you know that I travel a lot. I fly more than 6,000 miles every week. And just to put that into perspective, if you do a round trip coast to coast in the United States, that's about 5,000 miles. And so I spend a lot of time in airports and a lot of time in airplanes, and I love to read, and particularly historical fiction and some mysteries. Anyway, the iPhone reader came with a couple of out-of-copyright books. One of them was Last of the Mohicans. The recently written introduction explains all about Native Americans, their origins, the geography, their languages, their social structure, and more. It was fascinating. I couldn't wait to turn to James Fenimore Cooper's book. The text was written in 1826. It was not fascinating, and it was hard to read. Frankly, it was above my reading level. I gave up. When we insist that young people read the classics, why are we surprised that they don't want to read? Books like Chicken Soup for the College Soul, Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul are credited with getting teenagers to read. Why? Because they want to read it. Why? Because it's about them and who they are and what they do. Okay, now let's talk about dealers. When it comes to publishing, social networking simply means write what you know and sell to your colleagues, selling directly to the user groups. For that, we need dealers. Bookstores are a lousy place to sell books. We want to pursue the non-traditional markets. You see, most of my parachute manuals and skydiving books are sold through parachute catalogs, skydiving schools, skydiving clubs, and other parachute outlets. And we use social networking, social media, to get our potential customers to go to these catalogs and schools and clubs and other outlets. So, you want to pursue these non-traditional sales. And the secret there is to identify and locate your potential buyer. Who is your buyer? Where is your buyer? Be very precise about who your buyer is. Everybody is not interested in your book. Everybody's not interested in my skydiving book. Now, once you've identified that person, then you want to locate them. For example, what magazines and newsletters do they read? What stores do they frequent? What associations and clubs do they join? What events and conventions do they attend? Where do they hang out online? You go there because the mind is richer. There are more people. You don't have to walk down the street and try to sell your book to each person that you encounter. You go where there's a high concentration of your customer, where they have voluntarily come together because they have a like interest. Book promotion is not a question of who you know. It's a matter of who knows you and your book. So go online. Take part in blogs and forums. I'll tell you how in just a minute. Make sure that you have a signature at the end of your emails. If you have a business card, you need a dot sig, a signature. You want people to know who you are, what you do, and where to find you. You want to drive eyeballs to your book on your website. Join those social networking sites and services. Help people with your interest to find you and your book. There are business-oriented sites such as LinkedIn and Self-Growth. There are more social sites such as MySpace and Facebook. Look into them. Ask your colleagues which ones they frequent. So how do you take part? Okay, there are forums for book publishers. Forums are the least expensive book consulting you can get. Several interest groups serve book writing and publishing. You can join and you can learn. You can ask questions, and authors and publishers with personal experience, these experts will answer you in minutes. Sometimes you'll be able to contribute to the list yourself. See the various lists, visit their sites, and select two or three and join. Now, I've sent a handout on to Chris, and he can supply that to you, or you can go to my website, parapub.com, parapub.com, and get one of our free information kits and all of the forums that are appropriate applicable to write-in publishing are listed in there. There are four general ones, and there are some specific ones on things like publishing design or selling fiction or children's books or legal things or about autographings. But there are four general ones, and I suggest that you join a couple of them and hang out for a while, ask questions, and then someday you may be able to help other people. Now, there are forums in your own books category. I mean, I'm on dropzone.com. That's the parachute site. So definitely look in your own category. That's where you're going to be flocking with other people who have the like interest in your particular books category. Number three, Google Alerts. Google Alerts is a modern clipping service. They'll notify you whenever your keywords show up online. So sign up for Googlers. And by the way, if you were subscribing to this 3 or 4 years ago, the new one is much different and it's much better. Just go to www.google.com/alerts. That's google.com/alerts. And sign up for it and use it for a while. Number four is Help a Reporter Out, H-A-R-O. This is the Peter Shankman service. You can get email requests from reporters who are looking for experts and story materials. Get yourself and your book into articles. And that's at www.helpareporter.com, helpareporter.com. Number five is ProfNet. This is a program that's been around for a few years by Dan Janelle. And again, you can get email requests from reporters looking for experts and story materials. Get yourself and your book into articles, and that would be at www.prnewswire.com/profnet. That's prnewswire.com/profnet. Number six is one of my own publications. It's called Publishing Pointers Marketplace. Many of you know that I have a Publishing Pointers e-zine that comes out every 2 weeks through it, full of tips and resources, and once a month we have the marketplace. In the marketplace, you can post requests for stories for the book that you're writing. You can request help wanted for specific projects. You can list companies or rights you want to buy or sell, and you can offer review copies to other authors and publishers in your subject area who are willing to post a review at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. So you can go to my website at parapublishing.com and check out the newsletters. Time have changed. Technology changes. More than, I lost my place here. Okay, so no social networking isn't so scary, is it? You're simply dealing with people you feel most comfortable with, your friends, your colleagues. Reaching other people who like to discuss your subject is not intimidating. It's fun. If you're an introverted writer, like me, you don't have to get dressed, go out. You can interact with your colleagues from home. Technology, the internet, and email make social networking faster, easier, and cheaper. We author publishers should remember the three guiding principles. One, write what you know and sell to your friends. Well, sell to colleagues in your category. Turn your passion center into your profit center. I turned my avocation skydiving into my vocation. I found a way to make a living in the parachute industry. Two, bookstores are a lousy place to sell books. There are a lot of other places out there. The non-traditional books, book outlets are far more profitable, much easier to reach, and because you're dealing with your friends, your colleagues, it's a lot more fun. Three, focus your marketing on your market with social networking. Use social media to promote your books and other products and service. Be a social networker. Birds of a feather are flocking together electronically. Social networking opens doors and closes sales. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Dan. That's I think a perfect summary of what's going on now. And I think that, you know, this whole term social networking, it's become, I think I referred to it earlier as a buzzword. And I think, you know, when something becomes a buzzword like that, you know, people start to think, oh, well, I guess this is something new and, it, you know, it's something I have to learn. But it really, as you say, it really isn't. It's been around forever. It's just now kind of migrated onto the internet as opposed to, as you say, you know, it used to be around the campfire or, you know, whatever. Now it has migrated to just a new technology, basically.
Very well put. Yeah, very succinct.
Now, one of the things I just wanted to follow up on, you talked about, obviously, today an author needing to understand who the buyer is who the person interested in their book is and then where are they online. And you mentioned one of these tools, Google Alerts, which, you know, I've been using for years and a lot of people have been using for years. And as you say, it has gotten a lot more robust and it's a better tool than it was. What are some of the ways, because people, maybe they, I'm sure a lot of authors, you know, do know the forums and the sites where people who are interested in their book would be hanging out, but what are some of the ways that people can use Google Alerts to, you know, kind of uncover those places if they don't know them already?
Okay, well, first of all, there's no limit in the number of keywords that you can put in there. and you want to put in your name, the title of your book, the name of your company, and then the keywords. For me, it would be parachutes, skydiving. In the book field, I'm trying to remember what I have in there, but self-publishing and publishing and book, so that if those words appear anywhere on a blog, in a newspaper, on a forum, any place on the web, you get a notice of it. You can click on it and go and see what it is. It's important that you have your own name in there. Now, of course, your name is two words, like Dan Pointer. So you want to put quotation marks in the front and the back of the Dan Pointer, or I would wind up getting all the Dans and all the Pointers. I don't want that. I just want the Dan Pointer. But it's important to find out if somebody is saying something good about you, or maybe they're missing the point and saying something not so good about you. You need to put that fire out. But it's really gratifying to find out how many times your name is being mentioned in print somewhere in the world, somewhere out there on the Internet. You want to know if people are saying things about your company. Now, when it comes to your subject matter, parachute, skydiving, writing, book publishing, self-publishing, and so on, this helps you to keep up in your field. You know what's going on because you're alerted instantly when something with your keyword appears in print. And this enhances your expertise. It adds to your credibility because you know immediately what's going on out there. So we say it's like a modern clipping service, except the traditional clipping service was usually just for material that you sent out. And here it doesn't matter who sends out that information or prints it. You can be alerted immediately. There are many, many blogs out there. Sometimes I think there are more blogs or more people writing blogs than there are people reading blogs. But blogs are also very important, and some of them have risen up and have a huge following or circulation. If somebody says something about your subject on their blog, it gives you an opportunity then to post something to the blog. And always sign your posting with your name and the title of your book. And your website address. You want to drive eyeballs back to the website. So what you'll find is that the owner of the blog is thrilled because you've posted something. You have just made a new lifelong friend, and you are getting eyeballs from other people on your posting, and you're directing them to your website.
Right. And I think, that's a great point that most of the time the blog owner is going to be thrilled because authors, I think, don't give themselves enough credit, but just the fact that you've written and published a book makes you a celebrity.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're a prestige contributor because you're the author of the book.
Right. Now, you didn't talk about this at all. I'm not sure if you kind of use it. Do you use Twitter at all?
I do not. I'm traveling so much, there's just so much time in the day. But perhaps for our audience, you should comment on Twitter.
Yeah, well, I think it can be very similar to Google Alerts because what you can do, I think a lot of it is, maybe a big time suck, as you kind of alluded to. But there's a great feature, and what it allows you to do is basically to search Twitter for, just like you can do with Google Alerts, to search by keyword. So you can kind of keep your fingers on the pulse of, what people are talking about. And in your case, maybe it would be parachuting. So anytime, somebody sent one of these short tweets, they're called, about parachuting, you would, be notified of that. And you could kind of, a news story breaks or something like that that's very hot, maybe a lot of people on Twitter will start talking about it. And that's just another way for you basically to keep on top of sort of what real people are talking about, around your topic.
Thank you so much for that. I had no idea. I think people look at Twitter as from the input end instead of the outtake end. And that is a very, very important piece of information. Thank you so much, Chris.
Sure, Dan, sure. At least I could do after all you shared today. So, one other question, and I'll let you wrap up and again tell people where they can find out more about what you're doing. This the Publishing Pointers Marketplace, it's called. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and you just mentioned one thing here where you can basically offer review copies to other authors who would then be willing to go through your book and then go ahead and post a review on Amazon. That seems like a great, almost like a co-op kind of thing where you can, just team up with other authors to help in that. Are you finding that's something that authors are really taking advantage of?
Well, I think the publication has been out, I think, either 1.5 or 2.5 years now. It's very popular. It goes to 35,000 authors, publishers, and professional speakers. These are people who know how to write a review and tell a story.
Right.
And this, again, is social networking because it's going out to people just like us. And the only people who are going to be interested in reviewing your book are people who are in the same category area. It's people who know what you're talking about, and we're, as they say, writing, speaking in the same category. So the reviews that we get are very, very good. And by the way, when I say reviews that we get, I'm talking about authors across the board, not myself specifically, because there's no charge for an insertion. Anybody can send in information on their book and ask for a review, and then the people deal directly with you, and they post the reviews. So we don't stand in the middle. We don't charge for anything. We have nothing more to do with it. And so to get more information on that, just go to my website at parapub.com, parapub.com. Go up to the resource button and take a look at the newsletters. You can see some past issues. You can subscribe. And once you see the past issues, you'll see how other people are writing up their review requests. It's also a good place to request stories because stories back up what we say. People remember the stories in our books. And so you can say, I'm writing a book on the following subject. I'm requesting stories about this issue. And you'd be surprised how many stories you get. And again, we don't charge for that.
Right. Yeah, the whole topic of telling a story is probably another 90-minute interview that we could do. Well, great, Dan. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Is there anything else? We're kind of coming up on the end of the half hour here. Anything else that that you want to say before we go?
Well, just remember that publishers don't promote books. Authors have to promote books. It doesn't matter if you sell it to a publisher or publish yourself. The author has to do the promotion. Book publishers will get your book into the bookstores. You have to get the customer into the bookstores. And it's so much easier today. It's so much faster. It's so much cheaper. And it's a heck of a lot more fun because you're just going online and doing this social networking with your colleagues who just love to hear from you because you're an important person. You're a prestige contributor. You're a published author. So go online and promote your books.
Great. Great advice, Dan. Thank you again.
Thank you very much, Chris.
And we'll speak soon. Bye. Once again, you've been listening to the Monsters of Book Marketing interview series sponsored by TheAuthorsEdge.com. You can download the rest of the interviews in the Monsters of Book Marketing series, again, at www.TheAuthorsEdge.com. I want to say thanks again to my guest today, who is Dan Pointer. If you want to download any of Dan's free resources that he talked about during the call today, you can find Dan at www.parapub.com. That's parapub.com. Until next time, again, I'm Chris Simrall, and we'll speak soon.